Today we are taking a request. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago something about Ma'aser Ksafim. They wanted to know how much they have to give and how they figure this out. And they said they've never done this before. Now they feel very guilty about it. So now they have lots of things to catch up on. So we waited for this week because we will note in the first source, it says, Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov makes a vow. Im yeh Elokim imadi, ushmarani b'derech hazer, shanochi holech, v'natan li lechem l'chol beged lovosh. So Yaakov says that if God takes care of him and so on and so forth, v'shafti v'shalom beit aviv v'yad Hashem li l'Elokim, and therefore if God returns him to his father's home and so on, v'ha'evin hazot v'shasamti matzeva yeh beit Elokim, and everything that you give me, I will give a tenth. Now, from this context, if anybody wanted to argue that giving ma'aser, now, the word ma'aser comes from the word eser. The word ma'aser means a tenth. There is a thing called ma'aser in the Torah, but the ma'aser in the Torah has very little to do with this, other than this context over here. Generally, when we have ma'aser, ma'aser would be from various produce. As far as which produce, which grows from the ground, you're obligated and which you're not obligated from the Torah, that we're also not going to talk about. But let's just say for the moment that things which are, let's say, wheat or grapes, here you're talking about real ma'aser from the Torah, not vegetables. That's d'rabbanan. And from the produce which grows, a tenth needs to be somehow designated for other than personal use. So Yaakov over here makes a neder. Now, what can we conclude by the fact that Yaakov made a neder? That he didn't have to make that he didn't have to, and it wasn't something which was obligatory, even though we will all recognize that Yaakov is not necessarily Jewish, it is not necessarily following the Shulchan Aruch, and so on and so forth. But here is a source that people would turn to, and again, as I said, that's why we waited for this week, that this is a source that people would turn to and say, ah, here we have a case of giving a tenth to, somehow, to God. There's a second example, which is actually a prior example, which is completely unclear. Here it says, Umaki tzedek melech shalem, hotzi lechem v'yayin v'hu kohen kel elyon, v'yivrcheyu v'yomar, baruch Avraham l'kel yon, koneh shemayim v'aretz. V'yivrch kel yon, Hashem migen tzarech b'yadcha, v'yitain lo ma'aser mikol. He gave him a tenth of everything. Now, the way that this is normally read, mostly because of Rashi, is that Avraham then takes a tenth and gives it to the king over here. The reason that he would have done that is because, well, part of this is our imagination. Part of this is our imagination because we imagine that Malki Tzedek is a Melech of Yerushalayim. It says Melech Shalem. And if he's a Melech of Yerushalayim and he's a Kohen, so what do you do to Kohen? To Kohen, you're going to give things, so therefore there is this idea that Avraham gave to him. Even though there are the Mefarshim that say the other way around, it says, Vaitin lo ma'aseh mikol, was the opposite, that Malki Tzedek gave to Avraham a tenth. And so as I said, we're not going to get into the Pesukim, and we're not going to get into these two biblical examples, but let's go to the more halachic issues. In Masechet Ta'anit, source number 3, this is not the Gemara we're quoting from, this is Tosfot. Tosfot is one of the commentaries. It says, Atzer ta'aser, right? Which means you shall give a tenth, aser ta'aser. Hachi ita b'sifri, it says in the Sifri, by the way, whether it actually says this in the Sifri or not is another question. But presumably there were other Sifris other than the one that we have that made it down to this generation. But Tosfot quotes from the Sifri, Aser ta'aser, et kol tfuat zar'acha hayotzi asadeh shana shana, which means that you should give a tenth of the produce that grows from the ground, from the field, and so on, every single year. Ein li ela tfuat zarecha. The only thing that I know about is the things that grow from the ground, the tfuah, which means the wheat. Shechayav ma'aser. That's, you're obligated to give ma'aser. Ribit upramakte. What about money you made from lending interest? Now, I know that you'll tell me that you're not allowed to lend money at interest to another Jew, perhaps to a non-Jew you can lend with interest. The Torah actually says that you can. Maybe even you should. Business. Or money that you made from business. Let's say somebody, as unaccustomed as we are to this, somebody actually had a job and made some money. So are they obligated to give ma'aser? So this is our question. This is our topic. Again, we take this almost, you know, for granted. Of course you have to give ma'aser from the money that you make. So over here it says, v'kol shar rivachim, and what about all kinds of other money that you make? Profit, literally. Talmud lomar et kol. Because it didn't just say in the verse, if you look back up a line, aser tarseh et kol tfuat. Why does that say et kol? I don't know how to translate et in English, because one can't. Et kol, you should give from all of your tfuah. So why did it say et kol? It should have said aser taser tfuah. You should give a tenth of your tfuah. Why does it say et kol? So the Sifri, quoted by the Tosfot, understands that this will add something to what we wouldn't have known. Et kol dehava motzi lemeimar. Kol dehava motzi lemeimar. This comes to tell you et tfuatcha. My kol rabot ribit v'pamakte v'kol davar shemarviyachbo. So Tosfot over here quotes an opinion that one has to give a tenth of all kinds of profits, and he understands it from the verse. Now, the one thing we have to be a little careful about is this: should this be understood now as an absolute Torah law, a Torah obligation? Perhaps. On the other hand, sometimes there is a thing which is called an asmachta. An asmachta means to be somech on something, to lean on something, or we would call that an anchor, where the Chachamim have an idea, so they quote a verse to show that the idea can be represented in the verse, even though it itself doesn't have a status of a Torah law. Now, if somebody will argue that giving ma'aser, giving a tenth of your profits, is a Torah law, this is where they're going to have to argue it from, because this is the source. Okay. For the rest of today, I will argue increasingly less and less as far as an obligation goes. That was it. That was the maximum that we're going to see today, and now we're going to see less and less along the way. And what difference does it make if it's a Torah law or not? We'll see. We'll see in a moment. The Bach is one of the commentaries on the Torah. Bach stands for Beit Chadash. The Bach in source number 4 writes, Miu ein ze ela b'maser ani mizera haaretz shehi mitzvat ase min haTorah. Avol ma she'adam ma'aser mima she'marviach b'maser u'matan u'kiksafim v'shar rivachim einu b'chlal ze. Now, I didn't get into the whole context over here about what he's talking about. He is talking about using money from certain stakot for other purposes, for other good deeds. For example, talks about pidyon shfuyim, to use money in order to redeem captives. Now, if you have an obligation of giving your tzedakah in a particular area, and we don't know yet now why you would have such an obligation, then you cannot divert the funds for a different purpose. Over here, he says, no, but that whole discussion is talking about where there is a real obligation. And again, mihu ein ze el b'maser ani mizera haaretz. What is real ma'aser ani? That comes from things with produce which grows from the ground. Shehi mitzvat aseh min haTorah. That is a real bona fide Torah law. So what's he about to tell us then? Avo masha adam ma'aser mimasha marviach. But that which a person is going to take a tenth from his profits, b'masah u'matan, kiksafim v'shar rivachim, eino b'chlal zeh, that's not included in the Torah obligation of giving a tenth, v'yachol li'tein mimenu l'tzedakah u'lepidyon shvuyin, Shereinu einu chayav ba lo min haTorah v'lo midrabanan. So what he just now said, you choose to give money, a tenth of your profits, of your income. He says you can divert that, and you can use it for any purpose. Why? Because it's not a Torah law, not a rabbinic law. So now I'll ask you, did the Bach accept what Tosfot said? Clearly not. Clearly not. And he, by the way, he went even further. Not only did he tell you that it's not a Torah law, what else did he add? He goes, it's not even a rabbinic law. So what is it? So by default, maximum, this would be a minhag, and maybe even not a minhag. How would I know if it's a minhag or not? It depends if you do it. If you do it, it's a minhag. You don't do it, then it's not a minhag. And there's a whole other issue that may come up, and that's the issue of the vow, which means just like Yaakov made a vow, it could be that it's considered a vow when somebody does it.
Now, is there a difference between tzedakah and maaser? Meaning, when Yaakov makes his neder, he says he'll give one tenth to Hashem.
So back up a second. There's a presumption here. The presumption is, and that's why he's talking about maaser ani. The presumption is that if you take 10%, just like the maaser ani goes to ani, the 10% should go to the poor. Which means there seems to be a perception in his mind that people take away 10% of their salary or their income, and they dedicate that for the poor. That's what he. But what does he say about that? He says that's not a Torah law. That's not a rabbinic law. If people do that, very nice. But that's not a Torah law or rabbinic law. That's what he's referring to. Now, if that's the case, if I dedicate 10% to the poor, can I now divert those funds? Theoretically, can the poor? Theoretically, can the poor now come to me and say, let's say I want to help Pidyon Shvuyim. Somebody's very wealthy, but he's been kidnapped. I want to use the money to release the person who's kidnapped. Can the poor now come and sue me and say, hold it, what happened to my money? You've been paying me, you paid me last year, you paid me the year before, where's my money? No, these things never happen. so that's also interesting. Maaser ani is twice in 7 years, right? So maybe also Maaser, so that's very interesting. So then maybe also Maaser of Ksafim should also be twice in 7 years. But there are people who mention that point. The question is, to what extent is this connected to the Maaser Ani or the classical Maaser Ani or taking a tenth and giving it to Ani from the produce which was grown? There's somebody who attacks the Bach for his position, and he's no other than someone called the Taz. The only thing that you need to know about this, other than that they were both rabbis who lived a long time ago, is that aside from everything else, the Taz was the Bach's son-in-law and student. And he writes in source number 5, Nira diyesh l'dmot maser shemafrishim min harevach mamon l'din maser ani shel tvoal perot. He says, I think we should make the comparison between the money that we have for profits to the things that they take from produce. Moach there, that word moach, is mori v'chami, my master and my father-in-law, if you've never seen that before. Mori v'chami zichron levorcha katav, shemaser shel mamon shelanu, ein bo chiyuv lo min haTorah v'lo midrabanan v'timheti. And I was shocked that I saw that he wrote such a thing. So that the Taz, as you were about to see, does not necessarily agree with the Bach. And the Taz continues to bring proof. Sherei Rosh Simon Resh Memtet, in the beginning of Resh Memtet, which we will get to fairly soon, Mavuar Shechiv Gomorhu. There it's brought down that there is an absolute obligation in order to give. Now, if he means over here to give a tenth, we'll see what it really says there, and then you'll all judge for yourselves. I was not convinced when I actually looked at the sources that he cites over here, but he's convinced that this is an obligation, and therefore he continues, Aval mishamim mimeno devar shel gemil chasadim, etzarech lodiyo shuhu mamaser ani, velo podim bo et hashvuyim, velo osim bo shushvoniyot, ve'enu nimimenu tzedaka, shepasku alav b'nei ha'ir. And he says, this is an absolute obligation to give to the poor. So therefore, I can't do other good deeds with it. I can't do chesed with it. I can't other kinds of acts of chesed. I can't do other kinds of things. I can't use it for the obligation that the city set upon me to pay a certain amount of money every year. What would you normally call that?
Taxes.
I can't use this money to pay taxes. But again, the municipality, let's say in the shtetl, could have said everybody has to give a certain amount of money, and that would be used litzorchei tzibur, and maybe somebody could have imagined that such a thing maybe should also be included in tzedakah. He said, no, this money really has to be dedicated for the poor. He goes, also, you can't redeem captives from this. You have to give the money, which, again, the municipality or the leaders of the city tell you. So he makes a distinction over here whether he was assessed an amount that he has to give. And they did have the power in those days. There was somebody who was a gabbai tzedakah who was able to assess, I don't want to call it fines, but he was able to tell different people, well, you would call this today maybe somebody saying you have to pay a certain amount, maybe income tax, or other ways that they figured out how much each person to pay. So therefore, if you were told that you had to pay a certain amount, that's already an obligation, and you can't use your ma'aser ani, but if nobody gave you any obligation, nobody required you, then he says that there's no obligation you're fulfilling, then you could use the money. Now, why that would be the case is not exactly clear. But that's, meaning, essentially what the Taz is telling us is you can't use this money to fulfill another obligation. By the way, we're familiar with this law. We're familiar with this law, for example, with, let's say, on Purim. On Purim, we have an obligation to give matonot levyonim. Could you use ma'aser for matonot levyonim? So one of the laws, if you ever learned that through, they would say, no, this is a separate obligation. This is a separate law. So therefore, you can't fulfill a separate obligation from the Ma'aser Ani. And that's the position that the Taz takes. But again, what was the main thing that we saw there? The main thing that we saw is that we have an argument now between the Bach and the Taz. Right? Again, going back in order. Tosfot indicated there's a mitzvah from the Torah. Correct? Correct. The Bach indicated it's not from the Torah and it's not Midrabanan. The Taz told us that it's an absolute obligation, but what didn't he tell us? He doesn't go into what the status of that obligation is. He feels there's an obligation, but we don't know exactly why there would be an obligation. Source number 6 is an earlier source. It's the Maharam Rutenberg. And just for a little bit of irony, what is the most famous thing you know about the Maharam Rutenberg?
He asked not to pay his...
He was kidnapped, and they did want ask for ransom, and he refused to be ransomed out. So again, it is somewhat ironic over here. There are two tshuvot of the Maharam. We're going to quote one later on. Maybe we'll get to a second one, which is the next one in the book, which someone else quotes, where he modifies what he says here. But first, I want to see this. He writes, Ma'ot ma'aser yir'eh acharei shechziku latitam la'aniyim ein lishnotam le'mitzvah acheret dinira kegozel aniyim. The money from ma'aser, acharei shehichziku, once there's a chazakah, once you've started to give it to the poor, then you can't start giving it, diverting those funds to someplace else, because it looks like you're stealing from them. Now that itself is interesting. Now why that would be the case, hold on a second. Then he continues, he says, the afal pi she'enu min ha-Torah, ela minhag. So if you're looking for someone to write in black and white, that this isn't a Torah law, it's not a rabbinic law, this is a custom. He says, even though it's a minhag, Hakaim alun devarim mutarim v'acharim nogim b'hem iser iyat harashay latim b'fneim shenemar lo yachal dibur over lecham idrabanan ve'ilu mutarim katuv b'taod. So many searches in the day. Right. What's his problem over here? His problem is that it's, and again, he doesn't say it as clearly as I would want him to, but he's more worried about something which has a status of a vow. That once you make, let's say, if I make a vow, I say I'm going to do something. That takes us back to Yaakov. I make a vow. Now, also part of the problem is when you do a minhag, there's a difference of opinion, one time or three times, if you start doing a minhag and you never said b'li neder, so it could be that now you've bought into that minhag. So he's telling us here that even though giving tzedakah, giving profits, right, 10% of your money to the poor is not an obligation, but once you've started to do it, so then he feels you can't divert it. So and more than that, so he says two things which may sound like they contradict. On the one hand, he's very strict about having to continue to give it to the poor. But what did he tell us on the other hand? On the other hand, he told us it's a minhag. But what's the problem? Once you start doing a minhag, then you have to keep on doing it. Now, before I finish today, make sure that I come back to this point. Because what happens if you started to do a minhag, but not because you thought it was a minhag? What if you started to do a minhag because you thought it was an absolute obligation? That means that you started to do a minhag because you thought you were required to do it, not because you thought you were doing something which was optional. So is that the same thing? So that's a very important point, and we can't stop before I deal with that point. Okay.
I'm lost in a very much more basic point, which is how do we get from saying that you have to give a tenth to Hashem to saying giving a tenth is only to the poor?
It seems to be, and I said that that's in people's minds, and you're right, that's also what Naomi was having a little trouble with, that it seems to be that in people's minds, because the part of the ma'aser that was given from the Torah was ma'aser ani, even though, as was pointed out, that that's not every year, it's only two of the 7 years, nonetheless, it seemed to be that they felt there was some kind of zera. Some of the sources that I don't think we're going to get today suggest that that was a takanan chutz la'aretz. That in Chutz La'aretz, they said, in Eretz Yisrael, you give ma'aser from the Tefuah. So in Chutz La'aretz, how do you involved in, again, you want to call it a social law that was created. So it said the social law is now take care of the poor. Being that ma'aser was taken every year but only given to the poor, it was deemed that that was the most appropriate expression of a law. Now again, whether that would be a Torah law, a rabbinic law, or something else, or a minhag, that would seem to be. By the way, there are others who claim that no, that this is only something which was a minhag in Eretz Yisrael and was never a minhag in Chutz La'aretz. But we'll, as I said, I'm not going to get into that. Shulchan Aruch, source number 7, which is not yet the source that the Taz wanted us to see. We'll get to that soon. Over here, the Shulchan Aruch tells us a wonderful thing about staka. And there are all kinds of statements of Chazal that will tell us why giving tzedakah is a good thing, and tzedakah tatzil mimavet, save, you know, when there's a terrible decree, and all kinds of things. Also, we're told that tzedakah is one of the things, and we had a class on this last year, that you're allowed to test God. Right? You're not allowed to test God in terms of wealth, but you're allowed to test God when it comes to giving tzedakah. Hatzedakah dochet gzeirat hakashot, source 7, that giving tzedakah pushes away bad gzeirot, ubit ra'av tatzil mimavet, in times of hunger it can save from death, kamosha ira litzerfit hagad, the Rama adds, vihi ma'asheret, it makes you wealthy, aser ta'aser, so they say aser, that you'll become ashir, vihi ma'asheret, you're not allowed to test God in anything except for this. So when it comes to giving ma'aser, you're allowed to test God and you'll see that you will get wealthy. Shenemar, and he quotes a verse over here. And then the Rama adds V'yesh Omrim, Dafka benetinat ma'aser mutar l'nasot HaKadosh Baruch Hu alo b'shar tztaka. And he says, some say that only regarding ma'aser can you test, but not regarding other tzedakot. Now, what does he mean by that, only ma'aser? Now, you just read this, you would think that he means ma'aser in terms of ma'aser k'safim, the 10% that you set aside. The Pitchei Tshuva in Source 8 quotes, Pitchei Tshuva, by the way, is one of the commentaries on Yerideya, and as it sounds, petach for tshuvot. He will then quote all kinds of she'ilot and tshuvot, which are relevant. He says, "Ayin b'she'ilat ya'aveitz of Yaakov Emdin, Yaakov ben Tzvi, shehisig al Rama, who argues that Rama demidvarav mashma demaser k'safim nahug al ma'idna." He goes, "From his words, it sounds like the ma'aser k'safim, which is a custom today. By the way, you now know what Yaakov Emdin thinks about it. What does he think? It's a custom." He goes, "Regarding ma'aser k'safim, right, which is a custom today." Uve emet ze eino. That's not the case. Shelo ne'emar ze al maaser k'safim. That verse that's being quoted over here, aser ta aser, has nothing to do with maaser k'safim, which also means by extension that he's rejecting what Tosfot said, because Tosfot thought et kol, right, remember, included maaser. He goes, delo sharui lenasui be te eino elot staka. Because giving maaser k'safim is just staka. That's not ma'aser. You may use the word ma'aser, and that may be the way that you figure out how much you want to give, but that's just staka, and that's not real ma'aser. V'kach katav agon bal shla, l'shnei luchot abrit, Rav Yishai Horovitz, v'hu b'tfus, in this particular edition of it, on that page, d'dafka b'ma'aser tfu'ah, hu d'shari l'nasot, avlo b'ma'aser k'safim. He says very specifically, when can you test God? That's only talking about giving from the produce and not from giving tzedakah. Now, you know that, one second, you know that no rabbi will ever get up in shul by an appeal and say this. You know that they'll actually say the opposite. If you're not sure how much to give, you should give more. You can test God. Any money you give for tzedakah is going to come back. And here you have a number of prominent people telling you, oh, no, that's not the case at all. That's only by produce. We're not talking at all in terms of tzedakah. So I'm sorry for telling you this, but that's, in fact, what it says. What's the matter? If it makes sense at all.
It doesn't.
Ah, so okay. So then we agree.
It's even less than this sense
from another point of view. There's no way of giving through life if you're not in an agricultural
community. Right. So here we have another punishment for Jews in Chutz La'aretz. They can't do maaser. They can't get rich. They can't test God. They can't do anything. And they have to keep 2 days yontif. What they lack in Kedushat Makom, they have to make up in Kedushat Hazman. Well, we'll have to find you your little place to plant your grapes. Source number 9, which is the place in the Shulchan Aruch that the Taz was referring to before. And this is conveniently Hilchot Tzedakah. Shi'ur Netinata, how much money should you give? So what's the halakha before you look inside? Law is, im yado maseget yiten kefi tzarech aniyim. What's the halakha? If you can, as much as they need. 1 second. Isn't that an interesting concept? That the law of tzedakah is to give what the poor person actually needs. That's what you should do. Listen, not everybody can do it. But if you can, that's what the obligation is. Next, v'mein yado maseget kol kach, if you can't do that, then what's the, then now we're going to go towards minimum. Yitain ad chomish nechasav. So then, well, we'll see. Well, meaning, okay, fine, you could say that as max. What? 20%. So he says, so therefore the maximum you should give is 20%. Excuse me? Possessions. Right. Mitzvah min hamuvchar. V'chad mi'asara mida beinonit. So here we have the 10th. So how is it being quoted? Okay, that's beinoni. By the way, if that's beinoni, then what's the minimum? We didn't get to the minimum yet. Pachot mikan ayin ra. Less than this is considered giving. But what's the minimum? V'chomet zesh omru shana rishona min hakeren, if you were concerned about this. The first year you give from the, how do you say, Karen? From the principal, mikan ve'elech chomesh yirviach b'chol shana. Then, subsequently, from prophets. The next halacha is in source 10. The olam v'limne adam atzmo pachot mishlishit hashekel l'shana, ve'im natan pachot mizeh lo kiyem mitzvat tzedaka. So here's the minimum. How much was that? A third of a shekel a year. Okay, so just in case, it did say that. I don't know, but we're not talking
like
about it. Yes.
Like no matter what you make.
Right. Because again, the maximum had nothing to do with what you make either.
Very
the,
poor.
Right. So it's saying a third of a shekel. A third of a shekel is the minimum that a person should give a year, and they have performed the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay. In case anybody was...
I have a question.
Yes.
How do they consider somebody poor if you... I mean, there's a distinction. If you're a person who refuses to work...
Right.
And you don't have an income and you have a lot of opportunities to work, but you choose not to work for whatever reason it is.
I'm not going to talk about that today. Maybe I'll talk about that another time. Okay, and how poor is poor? I'm not going to talk about that today. I want to focus on obligation to give, and then...
Another question. Is it only for giving the poor, for instance, does tzedakah,
So let's continue. Let's continue. So far, we've only seen people really focus on the poor. In case you're worried about giving more than 20%, in source 12, Hagav al yivazvez adam yoter michomesh lo yitzterech lebriot, so that you should not be, you know, end up needing from other people. But again, if you want a heter on that, Rav Moshe, by the way, does have a tshuva about this, that if somebody is fabulously wealthy, I mean, if Bill Gates, can he give more than 20%? He's not going to go hungry. Right? So if somebody is fabulously wealthy, he's not concerned about that 20%. But over here, the Shulchan Aruch, it's v'dafka kol yimei chayav. The problem of giving more than 20% is when you're alive. Aval bishat mitato yachol adam liten stakol kol ma sheyirtza. A person can leave in their will to give everything away, obviously, then that's not a problem. So, again, I would think that's an obvious point, but sometimes the obvious needs to be said. But it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch continues and rules in that halacha at the very end. You got to flip the page over, top of page 3. Ve'ein lasot memaser shelo dvar mitzvah. But you should not use your tzedakah, your ma'aser, for other mitzvot. So maybe this also answers your question about hospitals, perhaps. But he says that it should not be done for other kinds of mitzvot. This is dedicated for the poor. And so it seems that the Shulchan Aruch rules. Now, despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that, that does not impress the Shach all that much. The Shach, source 13, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ve'ein lasot mimaser shelo other things. Maharshal v'hadrisha katvu b'shem tshuvat Maharam. Now, this was the Maharam Rutenberg we had seen earlier. To kol, right, but it's not the same tshuva, it's the next one. To kol mitzvah shetavo liyado, kigon liyot bal brit, o lahachnis chatan v'kala l'chupa, u'kahay gavna, v'chein l'knot sfarim l'lmod bahem, u'lahashilam l'acherim l'lmod bahem, im lo yecholot biyado, which means, in order to make a brit, in order to help a couple get married, which may or may not be included within a wedding present, it may be something even much more than that. By Sifrei Kodesh, for you to learn, or for you to lend to others that you would not have been able to afford otherwise, or you could not have done this mitzvah, you can do all these mitzvot min ha'aser. Now, in case you're wondering, the Shach indeed just now wrote the complete opposite of what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch. He's, again, as far as this idea of the poor, he goes, V'chivot Marami Rutenberg, right, Tfus Prag, Katuv L'fazer Mimasrot L'aniyim Hagdolim, She'enu Chayav L'tap, sorry, I have to read that Shiva more carefully. Katuv, and he writes, U'lefazer Ma'asrotav L'aniyim, and then he adds, Tzarech Lomer L'vanav Hagdolim, what about to give from your Ma'aser to your children who are grown up already? She'enu chayev l'tapel behem, where you no longer have any obligation to take care of them. Mutar, you're allowed to give to your children and count that as ma'aser. D'afilu la'aviv mutar l'tet, you can also give to your parents. If your parents need help, you're allowed to give to your parents. Why does it only seem the other way around? Anyway. La'aviv mutar l'tet im hu ani mishum kibra aviv. Aval l'banav, he says, as far as the children goes, and this is something that we saw before, if there is a set tax that you must give X amount of money to the kupah ha'ir, then you have to give it to the kupah ha'ir. But there is no such law, then you can take from your ma'aser and you can give it to support your children. He says that would be, if they're needy, that would be considered to be a bona fide tzedakah. Right? Absolutely. The Pitchei Tshuva in Source 14, now he's going back, and remember, this was the place that the Taz told us, it's clear from over here that there's an obligation. So commenting on this source over here, the Pitchei Tshuva writes, again, he says you have to give 20%, 10%, or so on. So he writes over here, mitzvah, it's an obligation to give. And next line, Dafka mitzvah shechayav b'lav hachi, yeshlomad d'lo pligi, klal. V'ayim b'tshuvat chatam sofer, simen reishlomad alef, shekatav, d'be'er agola shagah b'zeh, that the be'er agola, when he talked about this being mitzvah, made a mistake, d'be'maril hichot rosh shonav b'tshuvat simen nunvav, katav lahedya, hatam mishum d'ma'aser shayach la'aniyim v'chulei, ach mikol malkom ein kan machloket, The Maharil v'Rama Meiri shehinhig shalosh pa'amim la'afrish ma'aser mi revach shalo u'latetno la'aniyim. V'shuv koma sheyafrish havei memeila la'aniyim. V'lav kol k'minei l'knot mimenu ner l'beit ha'kneset afilo eini m'chuyuv behem. Aval im miyad b'tchilat hitnagud la'afrish ma'aser k'safim hitna, he made a statement, sheyachol l'asot mimenu d'var mitzvah, moda maharil l'maharam. What's he saying? When they talk about an obligation over here, he says the source of the obligation is because you did this three times. The source of the obligation is that this became like a vow. But what if before you did it the first time, you said, I'm giving to the poor now, but I'm not doing it as any kind of obligation. I'm doing this as my choice. This is what I want to do. So therefore he's telling us there's no external obligation. The obligation is because you obligated yourself. But if you never obligated yourself, then he says you can use it for other things. So he's arguing over here that there really isn't an argument among the various opinions out there whether you can divert the funds or not divert the funds. One was talking about a case where you already started to give the money as takafa aniyim, so therefore you have to continue. The other was talking about a case that you never obligated yourself. You did it, but by saying b'li neder, so then you can divert it for other mitzvot, and there's not a problem whatsoever. So again, that becomes very interesting, because the Pitchei Tshuva over here, again, is commenting on the same place that Taz says, it's obvious there's an obligation, and he says, what obligation? There's no real obligation over here. Let's continue. And we will go back to the Taz. Now, you know the Taz, again, will be strict, because his starting point is that there is an obligation, even though we weren't sure what exactly it is. He says, only give to the poor. What does he say? You certainly couldn't pay taxes with this money. What he seems to mean over here by taxes, he seems to mean by some kind of thing within the Jewish communal taxes. But then he does say, which I didn't underline, the afagav the itab perakamet the batra, shafilu mashe umat olenot lim bizro and nechshavut staka. Even which they force you to give may be considered staka. He still, even though he knows the source says he doesn't like it, and then he continues. Teda, you should know. The hagam b'masha adam zan banim haktanim. Amrina perak narash. It says in the Gemara Ketuvot. The havi bichlal oseit staka. Even though the Gemara says that when you take care of your little kids, that is considered a staka. Bichol eight. V'chisak adayt reshotzi adam aser shelo lazun banim ktanim. And therefore, could you think that a person fulfilled his obligation by taking care of his little kids? Now, there are three different types of kids I want to talk about right now, just to understand some of the sources. There's a child under the age of six, which as far as halacha is concerned, you are obligated to take care of. If a parent says, I don't want to feed my kid who's under the age of six, halacha would take them, Beit Din would force them to take care of their child. Over the age of six, in antiquity, a child was considered old enough to earn his daily bread. Whether you like this or not, I know at this point it's not past the age of 30, but in those days, they considered a child the age of six to be able to do enough manual labor to earn their daily bread. And therefore, from the age of six, you're not obligated. What's the difference if I'm obligated or not obligated? Well, if I'm obligated, then I can't use the money for tzedakah because it's an obligation. If I'm not obligated, then perhaps I could use tzedakah. What was the third type of child I wanted to talk about? Somebody who's already an adult and no longer somech al shulchan aviv. Somebody who's no longer living at home and has an independent household, that I'm stating as a third category. Okay? And there, ostensibly, there would be absolutely no obligation to take care of whatsoever. I said at least theoretically. So, he says over here, regarding little kids, even though there's a Gemara which seems to say that is considered some kind of tzedakah by banim haktanim, which would sound like he's talking about under the age of six. Le'inyan leknot mitzvah bebeit ha'kneset b'maot maaser nearly de'im b'shat kniyat ha'mitzvah ha'yadata ozeh shari de'ho ha'maot l'tzdaka ozi ova'af shehu neneh b'mash mechabed l'krot acherim l'sefer Torah ein ze isur she'bechol maaser yesh tovat hanana l'balim ma'she'en kem b'shat kniyat ha'mitzvah lo nitchaven liten b'maaser v'achak rotze l'fromi maaser ha'vele kipor ha'chavo b'maaser kach nearly b'zeh. He just said, let's say a man has an aliyah l'Torah. And he says, and I will dedicate 50 shekel to the Beit Knesset. So what he said here is if as you said that you had in mind you're giving from your ma'aser, it's allowed. If you didn't have in mind, then afterwards when it comes time to pay the debt, you say, okay, where are going to get the money from? Oh, I'll take it from ma'aser. Then he said you can't do it. Which is also, as I'll agree, a very funny distinction. The katav bidrisha b'shem tshuvat maharam shemutalat mina ma'aser liyot bal brit or lachnis chatan l'chupa or loknot sfarim, which we had just now seen b'hem, ulashilam l'acherim l'mod b'hem, regarding whether you can use this for all these other kinds of mitzvot. So he says, it seems to me that if you do buy a book out of ma'aser, which he doesn't argue, that you can do this. What does he say you have to do? He says, you'd have to write in the book, this book was bought with ma'aser ksafim, and therefore the children will think that they own it. By the way, I'm not sure, so who does own it then? Who does own it? But he says that you should write in the book that this is bought with Maser Ksafim, and for what exact purpose, I am not sure, but you see that he says this, which, therefore, even the Taz, who was somewhat stringent about this and telling us that he thinks there is an obligation, we now have learned that he is somewhat lenient by telling us that you could use it for various other purposes. In source 16, we will get to a whole new level of leniency. And over here, we will find the opinion of the Birkei Yosef. One significant thing about the Birkei Yosef compared to virtually everybody who I've quoted till now is what? I'll tell you the secret. This is the Birkei Yosef of Yosef Chaim Baghdad. This is the first Sfaradi I've quoted today. We haven't gotten to any Sfaradim yet today. We started with Tosfot, the Maharam, the Bach, the Taz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, we'll see soon what the Shulchan Aruch says aside from what's written in the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch said that it's good to give tzedakah, good to give ma'aser, you can test, right? Then it was the Ramah who said you can test God in that, it wasn't even the Shulchan Aruch. And he said you should take care of the poor according to how much they need, 20%, 10%, and so on. But as far as what that obligation was, we didn't exactly see. The Birkei Yosef, who will along the way quote other Sephardic writers, as we'll see, he'll quote the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but let's start and take a look. Oshar Dvar Mitzvah, V'nafkamina, what would be one practical distinction, other mitzvot, Lefroa Misim, can you pay taxes with this money? After Amru, even though he quotes a verse, and so on. Hari Amru, Os Tzedakah B'chol Eit, who is considered a person who does tzedakah all the time? And let's also admit something. The word tzedakah may not mean, you know, giving ma'aser. Somebody who is considered to be somebody who's a full-time tzedakah worker, hazan banav ketanim, somebody who's taking care of little kids, is a full-time tzedakah worker. Yeah, over here, it technically means somebody who's feeding the kids, but it means somebody is a full-time, you want to say a full-time chesed worker? I mean, that's true. And one can't think that you would give ma'aser money for this. Harav Taz, and he quotes the Taz saying, you certainly couldn't pay your taxes from this, right? Ad kan l'shono. The Gam Harav Chavat Yair, Rav Ya'ar Bachrach, right, also says, his kata de mazon banav tanim u'misim, ein yochol lasot midmei ma'aser. Also, the Chavat Yair says, you can't use the money from ma'aser to pay your taxes or feed your little kids. Ach, on the other hand, harav hamufla, chasida kedisha, right? He's about to get to the Or HaChaim, kvodo morenu harav, hachasid, Rav Chaim, not a chasid, harav, Chaim ben Atar, zecher tzadik levracha, he has in his book, which is called Rishon Letzion, cholak al rav hataz, he argues with him, v'tama alav, and he's shocked, it's on the certainly little kids. Now over here, how did he just now define little kids? Over the age of six. Certainly, if you take care of kids over the age of six, there's no obligation. That is a wonderful form of staka. But he says, on the other hand, but to pay taxes, that's not so good. Ayin sham ba'orach. And it seems to me that this is the reason that everybody is mekel on ma'aser ksafim. Now, what do you learn from this? As far as he's concerned, there isn't such a... Forget out of Torah law, forget out of rabbinic law. As far as he's concerned, there is no minhag like this. People are mekel when it comes to this. This sviri... Now, he has a very different, very interesting reason for it. Disfiri vadai, because what are they thinking to themselves? Certainly, dezan banav yeter al shei shukayotze hitztaka mamish. That anybody who's taking care of their children, feeding their children, they're performing the mitzvah tztaka. V'kim le demotzim tfeim maser. And if you start doing the math on what you're paying for your kids' food and clothing, you're paying, if you get off on 10%, you're lucky. The afagav the yesh panim anirim lezeh kedat Reb Chaim ben Atar that stuck a vadahi v'hu ktzat samuch l'minhag ha'olam v'delok mashkat rav chavat yair mikol makam mishtei tanot acherot lo shapir avdi chada dahan lo yudei kedvein d'bizeh motzi in tfei ma'aser mikol makam yesh mitzvah v'sod b'afrashat ha'me'asrit. It means to say what he's saying over here is that nonetheless on a mystical level it's a good thing as far as he's concerned to separate ma'aser. To take 10% and put it aside, he says that very action of doing that, but again, here he's not talking about a Torah law, rabbinic law, or custom. What's he saying? That on a mystical level, this is a nice thing to do, it's a good thing to do. He also didn't buy it, that you're necessarily paying more than 10% for your kid's food. V'kol shebiyadu lahafrisho, biyadu v'achach lotziyo mizeh. Right? Once you separate it, then he says you can now use that money for any kind of mitzvah. Giving your kids food and all kinds of things like that, hu devar muchrach la'asoto. You certainly have to do that. Imitzad avato kirachem av, v'imitzad ema banim b'ishto amru, or because your wife will make you do it. Kruchen acharev, v'hima kveret l'shalchem apnechutz, and she's not going to want you to just to kick them out. V'imitzad sichat abriyot, v'laza alav midina, or because people are going to speak about you meaning, he's saying, even though there's no technical obligation to feed your kids over the age of six, how many of us can get away with not feeding our kids over the age of six? That's what he's pointing out. Whether it's because you're compassionate, or your wife will yell at you, or people will talk about you, so you still feel. You shouldn't use the money from Aser for your children, even though he does say you can do it for all kinds of other mitzvot. You should separate it. He says if your financial situation isn't so difficult, then it's really not right to use it for your children and so on, even though again he doesn't like it, but he's not really rejecting it. Source 17, El Yoraba, we just now moved back to Ashkenaz, and he very, very simply tells us a couple of things about tzedaka. By the way, this is in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, which goes back to your point about people working and so on. This is the least learned halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's someplace between Shulchan Aruch Haim starts at the beginning of the day. It starts, you get up, you say Moda'ani, you wash your hands, you say morning brachot, tefillat shacharit, right, shema, right? You get a little before that you have tzitzit and tefillin, and then you move on to shacharit, shema, and so on. And when you finish all the chot tefillah, what comes right afterwards is huchot se'uda. Then you have to sit down and eat, then all brachot and so on. So between the laws of davening and the laws of eating, there's one law, there's one siman, kuf nun vav. It's the law of business. If anyone want to look up what a Jew should do in terms of working, you can look at kuf nun vav. A lot of the commentaries throw all kinds of things into this kuf nun vav. All kinds of things in terms of working, in terms of business practice, and so on. But one of the things that the El Yerabi mentions here is Yehi lo kis miyuchad lemaser shelo. You should have a special place to put your money, which means this goes back to what we saw from the Birkei Yosef to separate the maser and put it in a particular place. You should have a special kis. Could either be wallet, could be pocket, but it means a wallet, really. What?
Your wallet won't last.
A special wallet, a different wallet. Miyuchad l'maaser shelo, u'mimenu, what do you do with this money? Yitein la'aniyim, krovim, v'rechokim. You give to the poor. What does it mean, near and far? Gam mitzvah lahalvot mimenu. You can use this money to give loans. What you would today call, some people would call a gemach. You can give loans from this money. La'adam b'shat achaka, when a person needs it. V'afilu l'ish amid, even when somebody's rich. Sometimes people have problems with cash flow. Mi shezika lo shem yitbarach b'ma'asrot harbeh, ra'ui l'va'aro l'chako b'shana shel shittu shel shmitah. Okay, so he just now jumped back to the third year and the sixth year, which I'm not touching right now. V'anashim ha'makvim et ma'asreim al achar motam, somebody who waits to try to figure out to give 10% till after they die, him ksilim, they're fools, she'enu makayim mitzvah b'asmar, they don't do the mitzvah themselves. Ach litein schar limud banav b'matav ma'aser, what did he just now say, you are allowed to do with this? You could pay tuition with it. He didn't say that. Banav ubinotav. He says you can pay tuition with this money. Imayelo be'esek echad hezek be'esek echad revach. You lost money in one business, made another business. Im b'shat hezek hayelo cheshbon shayelo hefsed. Einu imalei harevach et hefsed. It says it depends on accounting. Do you do your accounting at the end of the year and then you look at all your businesses together, or do you keep your businesses separately and that would make a difference in terms of the obligation? You shouldn't pay taxes with it. You shouldn't use this for other mitzvot. If you weren't obligated at the moment when you acquired it, aval bishla katav tedafku mashem osif al chaviro of a mashem achro rotzali tein lo yikach mimot maaser v'yesh l'tchot v'katav ashach de la avu levanav hagdolim aniim notnim maaser, to support your parents or children who are gedolim over here would be over six. You are allowed to use it for maaser. Od katuliyot bal brit olachnit chatan v'kala l'chupa v'kai gavna. In order, you want to to give money for a brit or a wedding present. You can give wedding presents and count your wedding presents as maaser, and for that matter, bar mitzvah presents as well. That is a V'chein l'knot sfarim l'mod behem, l'lisham l'achirim, and to buy books, and to lend them to others. Im lo yechola b'yado v'lo ya'oseh oto mitzvah, if you wouldn't have done it otherwise. Mutar l'kach b'maser. V'tzarech l'chtov l'sefer, so here you see he incorporates what the Taz had said. You should... No, not only. It says also you can't lend them. Shezeh b'maser, l'man yidu b'nav l'chzuk lehem, no nim ma'aser miyusha af mi'aviv. If you inherit money, you should also give from ma'aser. You should also give maaser. But what he did over here is he gave us a couple of things that were interesting to think about. And the most important thing that he added over here was tuition. By the way, he just now gave you.
A couple kids. You have a couple of friends.
If your kids are over the age of six, right, and you have tuition to pay, sons or daughters, don't tell me anything. He said both. Banav obanotav. You have tuition to pay, so he just now took care, I think, of most people's. We should only be 10%. Let me put it that way. Yeah. And what's that? And I just now also told you wedding presents. So
but
now.
A wealthy
what?
You give a wealthy person a wedding present.
You know what? Most brides and grooms are not wealthy themselves. Most, because sometimes they are. But. And 1 more second. And in the olden days, that was considered a very good stakah. How would people get married? A bunch of people gave them money, and then they got married. Is it so? 1 second. Is it really? I was about to say.
People bank on their wedding.
I was going to say that. Is right, right. And is it so different today? It just was, I think, built a little differently. Right, right.
A couple that gets money for the wedding.
Yeah.
Do they have to give a tenth?
Well, does anybody have to give a tenth? Hold on a second, and I will answer that before we finish today. We will now move over to 20th century. Tzitz Eliezer, Tzitz Eliezer was a Rav. He was on the Beit Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. He was the Rav of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. He was an incredible posek. Today, there are many rabbis who write articles on halachic topics who simply look up one of his tshuvot, and then they go through all of his sources, and they write an article afterwards, and fooling most of the people, but not all the people, that they've done an incredible amount of research. His work is a phenomenal work. He's probably like the Ashkenazi of, you know, who we compare to Rav Ovadia. Over here, he has a tshuva on giving tzedakah, of giving ma'aser. As you realize, if you look at just the beginning of 19, just for a moment, he writes, this is Perek Hey, chapter 5 of this tshuva. Okay, so let's go back to, we'll do a couple of things in this tshuva. Chelek Tet, Simen Aleph, Perek Hey. Ulefid vareinu amrim lamala yesh lesmoch latir lemisha shad chukah lo l'shalem avur limud banav mikesef maaser gam b'ketanim v'gam gedolim. If somebody, in 18, if somebody, if their financial situation is a little difficult, they can certainly use their money to pay, the maaser money to pay for their children who are young or old. I mean, you can use the tuition. Whether they live at home, or whether the children are at this point theoretically independent. And he says, certainly, if the person teaching is considered to be poor, which can certainly work in the vast majority of the educational situations today. And he goes, I'm shocked, I'll say for Avad Chesed. Avad Chesed, if we don't remember, is the Chafetz Chaim. Shasatam lefsok de l'shalem ma'od maser schar limud v'nav asur l'kuli alma. He goes, I was shocked that the Chafetz Chaim writes that you can't use your maser for this. And he said, according to everybody, you can't do it. By the way, we just saw someone who said you can do it. So when the Chafetz Chaim said, according to all opinions, you can't do it, all opinions didn't seem to include the El Yeraba that we just now saw. So he says, I disagree with him, respectfully. Does it have a mitzvah? Because he says it's a mitzvah that you're obligated to. Shemachayv batzmo lamed levanav, or the score lehem lamed, ve'en leferachov maser mimo maser. As we've seen before, something you're obligated to do, you shouldn't use from your money for maser. Ayin shan, see what he wrote. Daharu reinu, diyeshnam shematim. He goes, we've seen. He's already quoted numerous people at this point in the tshuva. A lot of people say you can use it. Ve'gam yesh bezechi klei ofanim v'chei behevdilei hagil, and there's all kinds of distinctions, the age and so on. And he goes, there's many ways that you're allowed to do it. Again, the El Yeraba didn't even go into details. He just said you're allowed to. But over here, the Tzitzi Eliezer also supports that, though he does tell us, as we already knew, that there are dissenting opinions. Now, Perek Hey, this part, source 19, this you're going to like, and we're going to go back to the, even though that today is Thanksgiving and certain people are getting their turkeys and certain people are saying how wonderful it is to live in the United States of America. And you mentioned the IRS before. This is an unparalleled position that he takes. And if anybody disagrees, you can choose to disagree. But it's absolutely wonderful what he writes here. Let's take a look. Perek Hey, im efsher lefroa misim mikesef maser. Are you allowed to pay taxes? Vim yecholo tzi avur hachzakat banav haktanim v'od. As you saw, I quoted the later part earlier, but here is the. No. He quotes earlier the Taz and the Bach. He got all the people there quoted early. He quotes some other tshuvot. Let's go down where it's underlined. Vishinit lefi devar echatam sofer sheavenu la'el. Again, remember there was this side problem in terms of the vow, that if you start doing it, you've made a vow, and that's. But if you made it tonight, you said, no, I'm not doing it, or I am separating my money from maaser, but I will use it for other things, then you can do it. Then you don't have to give it to aniyim. Mahani zot, that vow works, which means he's telling us that the only power of maaser kesafim comes because you made a vow, just like Yaakov Avinu. Although Yaakov didn't say he was giving it to aniyim, but if you start to do it, it's as if you've made a vow. But if you don't make the vow, then it's not a problem. Emkein harei kamokein yuchol gam latnot bekazot. You could say that I'm going to use the money for other things. Sheyachol shalemi zegam lemisim. You can pay your taxes with it. He's the first person we saw say that. Why? B'yot shegam zeh nechshav k'tashlum le'mitzvah, because that's considered to be a mitzvah. O she'inakeh l'fi chashmon mima shemaridim lo avur misim, or you're allowed to separate it to deductible what they take away for taxes. V'yachshuv zeh. And that can also be considered to be like one second. I'm gonna get to that in a second. Look at Gimel, where it's not underlined, at the bottom of the page. B'kevin shebanu l'kach, once we've already gotten this far, l'kach, right? Sheyuchalat not mitchila ha'hit nahuguto la'hafrashat ma'aser k'safim she'shlem mizagam avur tashlum misim. A person can say in the beginning, when they separate the money, that I'm going to use this for taxes. V'yachshov zelo afilo hachki b'kayim b'shlemut mitzvat hafrashah. And that's considered a perfect 100% fulfillment of the mitzvah. Nuchal od otzad kadima, we can go a little bit further. V'lomar dilemi sherivachav einam kokach gdolim, somebody who doesn't make so much money. Mashe nishar lo, enu maspikim lo, and what remains isn't so much, kolkach, la'ach shikar tragel ba'afr shazot shama aser ksafim, nitvasfu lo tashlumei misim mitzdadim, shonim, shalo ala al dato mikodem, even after you separated, all kinds of other taxes come that you weren't aware of, da'az yesh lo etza, shiuchal, latnot, akol shechol l'shalem mizet tashlumei misim, l'fi kol ma'aser freshav, agam sheba ofen klali, kibel lov me'az l'afrish ma'aser ksafim, mikol makom ha'kabalah, hi lo chala b'mufurash ala ma'aser ksafim, shemafrish befo'ol midei pam b'fam, ad shenemer shekar chalaleim din l'anayim. What he's telling you is the whole thing is really, really based upon your, on the laws of vows and what you said you were going to do with this. Just hold on one second. He was a little bit clearer in another place. Get to 20 a second, but he does believe that paying taxes in Israel is a mitzvah. He called that a mitzvah, but it was a little bit. He only talks about it over here. No, there was a line. I don't know why I don't see it right now. There was a line that he said that it's used for tzorchei tzibur. Where I stopped. Right before the Gimel. Sorry. Correct. Right. Mikolshkein. Certainly, this is the case. Kishem mishalem b'zeh avur misim liYisrael, shakol halech kimat letzorchei hatzibur haYisraeli. So, have you ever seen such a Zionist thing in a tshuva before? I mean, obviously, you realize why the Tzitz Eliezer was not universally accepted, but he has all kinds of radical things. But he says he's being. Let's be perfectly logical. What do they use the money on taxes for? Now, you know that if you go to the Mayor Sharm, they'll say they pay the policemen who are Nazis and so on and so forth, and they'll tell you all kinds of very silly things. And what does he say over here? He says I understand. And that'll be the justification. What does he say? That the vast amount of money that your taxes are used for are tzerchei tzibur, and that, as far as he's concerned, is considered to be a mitzvah, and that is ma'aser. So if you're paying mas hachnasa, he says that is considered, by the way, once he got this far, so you, by the time you get to, you know, everything else, there's really not much to talk about, but we will continue a little bit, because in source number 20, he quotes a very interesting tshuva. Again, it's Eliezer, v'hasfara mura she'naheged hafrashatosha maser ksefim, rak din neder yeshlo, the whole strength of this is in terms of a vow. He goes, when a person wants to figure out how much they should pay, you don't have to look at how much money you make. He goes, first you are allowed to subtract all kinds of things. Ki matzinu b'shut avkat rochel. Now you don't know who wrote that yet. Disfirele dafrasha yesh laasot rak mima shirvichu yoter al hotzatam achila v'shtiyav levush v'shar divrei atzrachim lepizur. He says that when you figure out how much you made, it's after you take all your deductibles. You know what your deductibles include? Food and clothing, and household expenses, and paying your mashkanta. So therefore, as far as the Tzitzi Eliezer is concerned, oh, I have to tell you that secret, who their Avat Rochel is? It's of Yosef Karo, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, here, you should give maaser, but there are legitimate deductibles, which means, again, theoretically, let's say somebody has a job. In order to have this job, they need a car. Is that right? They need the car to get to their traveling salesperson. They need the car. Is that car considered to be a business expense as far as income tax goes? Yeah. What about as far as ma'aser goes? Yes, that is a business expense. What he's telling you is that we have certain expenses which are deductibles before you look at how much you should have ma'aser. And he includes, by the time you finish now with the Tzitz Eliezer, I don't know what you're giving away, because by the time you finished with him, what did he just now allow? All expenses of the household is before you start figuring it out. Hold on. First, he says what you're allowed to do is to look and say, take all the money that you make. Deductibles, they're not maaser, deductibles would be household expenses. Now, how much money is left? From that money is left, you want to give 10%, then he would say that tuition, wedding presents, feeding your children, which is not included in his household expenses, all of those things would count towards your maaser ksefim. So by the time we're finished with all this, as I said, halavai, that all that comes out to 10%. Right? If anybody has another 90% on top of that, you know what? You should be giving money for tzedakah.
There's also a distinction between living in a time where the government did not take care of poor people and health insurance and blah, blah, blah. In a time today where, thank God, the government is supposed to take care of all these
things. I take issue on that.
I said, supposed to.
No, but they do. One second. There are all kinds of things that they do. No, the point is that. Okay. Okay, ladies, you'll take this outside afterwards. But what I do want to say is that once you start thinking about the Tzitz Eliezer's point, that when you live in Israel and you pay taxes, that's being used to take care, right? It's very difficult to argue that should not be considered to be a bona fide tzedakah. That's not. But aren't you glad that somebody actually said it? Okay. Okay. Source 21 is the Shulchan Aruch, which now you may not be surprised anymore. Hanotein levanav uvnotav hagdolim she'enim chayvim b'nezonotam kidei l'lomod l'lamed et abanim Torah l'nhig abanot b'derech yishara, which is both school, by the way. V'chein hanotein matanot l'aviv v'hein tzrichim lehem hareiz b'chlal tztaka. So again, the Shulchan Aruch already said all this, that it's considered tztaka, to take care, education, tuition, parents, they need it. All that's considered to be tzedakah, and you can read the rest of this afterwards. Source 22 is Rav Avadya Yosef, who continues along the lenient way that should not surprise you. We'll just read his sikum at the end on page 7. Hanoheg lafrish ma'ot maaser mimaskaroto umikol revachav. The person who does want to separate from his salary and profits. Rashai linakot. By the way, he calls it hanoheg. That means that's your minhug that you do, right? Rishay len kont mi dmei ha-ma'aser. You're allowed to take away dmei parnasat v'chakalat b'nav v'notav gdolim hayiterim al gil shesh shanim. It would be legitimate to use any kids over the age of 6. V'filo him smuchim al shulchano, even if they're at home. V'chein rishay l'seyem yima'ot ma'aser b'hotzat niso'e b'nav v'notav. You can use this to marry off your children. Kigon l'tzarech adirav v'ritim u'kiyotze b'zeh, to help them buy an apartment or furniture and so on. Kidei shuchal avnot et beitam, that they can settle down. V'kol shken k'shebanav mamshichim lasok b'torah, b'kololim harabim asher nitbarchu b'hem. Certainly if your kid learns in kolol, he says you can help. V'ken k'shebanotav nis'ot l'tamidei chachamim, Hashokdim bolasha Torah shemitzvah gdolahi lefanasat pechvodam v'tztaka gdolahi v'karov karov kodem. Anybody closer to you is who you should be helping. Umatov umanaim sherotz lafrish maaseh mikol revachav umimaskarato. Yitnei mirosh b'mifurash. He goes, if you want to give tzedakah from all of your profits, say beforehand. Yitnei mirosh b'mifurash. Say beforehand. Lefi lefnei sheyavo lo harevach o maskarot shiuchal lasot b'mot ha-maser kol mitzvah sheyirtzeh kefirot einav. Say, I am separating money, which I will now use for all kinds of mitzvot. V'im lo etnei came b'firush. If you didn't do it, that yaseh hatarah b'pnei shlosha. Then go in front of three people and do hatarat nedarim. Al shelo amar shehu marfrish amaser b'li neder, because he didn't say b'li neder. V'achar sheyatiru lo yitnu hatnai hanal. Then always make sure that you do it with a tnai. V'im sha'ato dechukam b'fkinat kalkalit. If you have a difficult financial situation, v'ein yado maseget linhog maser k'safim mikol maskartov or revachav, and you really can't separate 10%. Then you say, okay, I'm going to give my 10% after all of my household expenses. I'm going to give 10% of what's left after clothing, food, tuition. Tuition you could use as an expense afterwards, God gave you wealth, and you know you have in your hands. Tzedek derkol letet kol ma'aser la'aniyim ulevyonim ulamelei Torah l'shivot ha'kdoshot ve'etzchayim hil machzikim ba v'tomchei mu'ushar. He says, if you can and you're wealthy, then you should certainly give to the poor and give to yeshivot, and so on. I told you I have to do one thing before I finish. And I'm not necessarily going to take issue with what Rav Avadia said over here, but I'm going to be even more lenient than what he just now said. Shulchan Aruch, source 23, Hilchot Nidarim, the laws of Nidarim. Aval hanogim isur b'dvarim amutarim, machmat shesfarim shem asurim, lo haveki ilu kablam b'neder. If you do something because you think that you think that something is an obligation, or in this case you think that you're not allowed to do something, lo haveki ilu kablam b'neder, that it's not that you've accepted a neder. If you thought something was an obligation and you follow that, it's not considered a neder. V'yesh mishom she'im ta'oven or isur b'dvar mutar. Right, nishal matirim lo bishlosha. Some say you need three people. Kein hatarat nederim ve'im yadua shehu mutar v'nag bo. So if you know it, that's something else. Let's look where it's underlined in the Shach in source 24. Va'achshav nitbarer shehu mutar u'min hagan haya b'taut. Your custom was based on a mistake. Shenistapku b'davar va'achshav shenitbarer shehu mutar lo haviki ilu kiblam b'neder. It's not considered that you accepted a neder. So therefore, if there's somebody here who gave ma'aser, again, I don't want anybody to get the idea that I'm against giving ma'aser and you shouldn't do it. It's a wonderful thing. If somebody thought they were obligated and that's why they were doing it, and today you learned that it's not an obligation, that it's a custom, and the strength of the custom comes from virtue of doing the custom, and it's really a law of a vow and not something else. So if that's the reason you were doing it, maximum you need to go in front of three people and say, I want to be matur neder. I'm not even convinced that you need to be matur neder in such a situation. I think you could just say, okay, now I was doing this based upon misinformation, and from this point on, I am going to conduct myself differently. By the time we finish today also, again, if you want to look, there's a wonderful book called Ma'aser Ksafim. I think the book is too long. You don't need all the information in here. I told you everything that you need to know. But again, he'll do all kinds of complicated things in order to try to figure out what is considered legitimate or not legitimate. But as I said, there's a lot of information, and it's not as clear as it could be. What did we learn today? There were those who argue that it's a Torah law. That's Tosfot. Whether that's a real strong argument or not, nobody really accepts it. One of the things we skipped in Rav Avadia is that he says, and I felt the same way before I read Rav Avadia, he says, well, if this was an obligation, why doesn't the Gemara ever quote this? Why doesn't the Rambam ever quote this? Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch ever quote this as a bona fide obligation? Apparently, it's not considered to be a bona fide obligation. Very difficult to argue that this is a Torah law. As far as a rabbinic law, there are those who've made that argument. It's not really a widespread opinion. The widespread opinion is that this is a minhag, and the strength of the minhag is really the strength of a vow. So therefore, if you're going to do it and separate it, you say b'li neder. If you make with the vow, I will use my money here for all kinds of mitzvot, you're allowed to use it for all kinds of mitzvot. But we have seen a couple of interesting things along the way about what's considered to be legitimate, sources to give the tzedakah to, including your children, including tuition, including giving wedding presents, bar mitzvah presents, including buying books, including having a lending library, if you'd like, a lending Torah library. There are all kinds of things which would be considered to be bona fide applications of the mitzvah. But one does need to be sensitive that if you say, I am separating Ma'aser Kesafim, which we saw there's a mystical reason to separate it, and some others talked about this as well, how it's important to actually separate. If you do that, you have to be careful that you didn't just now make a vow when you said that, because that vow may obligate you, even though there's no other external obligation. Shabbat Shalom.